The following message is by Pastor John Piper. More information from Desiring God Ministries is available at www.desiringgod.org.
Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, and who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray together. I love those words, Lord, grace to you. I think that's what you are saying right now through this letter. Grace to you, Bethlehem. Grace to you. Peace to you. Lord, minister mighty, saving, sanctifying, healing, reconciling, encouraging, humbling, strengthening grace to your people through the Word of God. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from fear, free from sin, free from greed, free from anger, free from bitterness. Lord, there's grace coming now. Don't let me get in the way. Make me an advantage to your people in these moments of exposition, I pray. Through Christ, amen. Well, almost 18 years now, I have been ministering the word here at Bethlehem, and again and again I have waited, wondering when the time would be for preaching through the book of Romans. I have considered it over and over. I've walked up to the mountain and looked up into the clouds that surround the peak of this Everest and walked away to lower heights and contented myself with other things, because it is absolutely daunting to stand before these 16 chapters that have been so unbelievably used of God in the history of the church and think that God would give me grace and life to preach through this book. But in God's patience and grace, it seems to me that the time is right. We're at the end of a millennium, and I am well into the second half of what, God willing, will be a 30-year pastorate at this church, if you will have me. And at age 52, the pace of time seems quicker than it did when I came at age 34. And the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Christ is more bright to me now, gets brighter with every precious saint who dies. And this book is the place where the gospel of Christ shines most brightly and most thoroughly in all the Bible, the book of Romans. I'm not as moved today as I once was by the tyranny of the urgent or by the need to respond to every trendy view that blows across the American cultural landscape. I'm well past midlife, and my confidence has grown very deep that the way to be lastingly relevant is to take your stand on old, tried, unshakable truths rather than jumping from pragmatic bandwagon to bandwagon trying to do the latest thing to make things happen in the church.
So I don't feel any need to do that sort of thing anymore. Romans is solid. Romans is durable. Romans is reliable. Romans is unshakable. Romans is old. Romans is thorough. It fits where I am in my latter chapter. Now, I've got a history with this book, and I want to tell you the history. The reason I venture so much personal stuff this morning is because this book is personal. Paul, there's a lot of Paul in this book. He starts off with himself, maybe. We'll check that out in a minute. Has a lot to say about himself in Romans 7. To be an authoritative apostolic spokesman in the Bible didn't mean you had to not talk about what God was doing in your life. Some people, I just got back from 10 days in England, and there are certain staid churches and certain traditions where, like my hero Jonathan Edwards, you can read 1,200 sermons of Edwards and you don't hear one word about Jonathan Edwards. It's all about God. That's overdone. Can go way far the other way, where a preacher's bringing in his marriage and his kids and his ulcers and his cars and his computers all the time, and the congregation will say, "A little God, please. Can we have a little God here?" However, the reason I'm going to tell you my personal history with Romans is because I think it might ignite in some of you a desire to know this book and to be familiar with the God of this book and worship Him and love Him and enjoy Him, obey Him, trust Him, follow Him. I don't remember my conversion. I was six, my daddy tells me.